Hey everyone, this is Rob and Jay from the Classic Gaming Podcast. We play and talk about old school video games on our podcast. I know you probably couldn't have guessed that from the name of it, but as for me, I tend to prefer the good old point-and-click adventure game genre. I also like strategy games. I play a lot of a wide variety of stuff. As for Jay?
Yeah, I'm really partial to RPGs and RTSs, so things like Final Fantasy Tactics and Chrono Trigger to that of StarCraft or Age of Empires. Generally with the podcast, we try to stay on topic, but we usually end up going off on super, super far tangents.
Give us a listen over at the HP Video Game Podcast Network. You can also find us at classicgamingpodcast.com, and we hope you check us out.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You'll never have the sacred stone. Oh, this,
you crazy mother. Welcome to this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial, number one video game podcast in New Zealand. I'm one of your hosts this week, Bryant Samwise Gamgee Daniels, and joining me across the universe on Skype is none other than Todd Larry Hoover Fortner. What's going on, man?
Oh, man. Blessed and highly favored, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
You already know. Same old, man. Just, unfortunately, same old, same old.
Yeah.
But glad to be with the tribe again, you know.
We've talked about this. It's a very special episode, but before we get on to that, if this is your first time joining us, we're a video game show. Me and Todd get together and we talk about the video games we've been playing. We break down some news or a round table. Sometimes we talk about a top seven. This week's a little bit different if this is the first time you're joining us. We're throwing another wrench in there, folks. We're throwing another wrench in there because we feel like we should. And we, like, it's a good topic. It's something we've talked about for a long, I mean, since the inception of this show, really. This is something that we've discussed over and over again. So
it's actually something that's a basis and a reason why we started doing this.
Exactly. Like, this is the reason why I skipped the tutorial, because there's a lot of philosophical discussion we've had about society and video games. And if people don't know, like, me and Todd, we became friends not just because of the discussion about video games. We became friends because of discussions about life and music and society, and we have similar views on a lot of things. And this is something that recently happened in the news. Unfortunately, we couldn't address it last week, but there was a few shootings last week. A few mass shootings, the most notorious one being El Paso, Texas. We are from Texas. But in El Paso, Texas, a young man walked into a Walmart.
I'm not from Texas. I live in Texas.
We
from
live
Louisiana.
In Texas.
Shout out to the boot. Yes. Shout out to the boot. But yeah, respect to all Texans with that shit. I feel you. But yeah, go ahead, bro. El Paso.
No worries. A young man walked into a Walmart with an assault rifle and just started gunning people down. It's a tragedy. It's a national tragedy. Something similar happened in Dayton, Ohio. At the time, that kind of got overshadowed because, well, you know how the news is in the United States. The body count's what matters. It's what's going to draw the most attention, and El Paso had the biggest body count with, I think it was 21 victims total. From my understanding, it was 21 victims. And then also, there was
I mean, it may have been 26, I think, but
yeah,
we don't want to disrespect the dead and the families, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
It was definitely another horrible shooting, you know?
It was awful, because there was that one, El Paso, Dayton, and Gilroy. All within a very short time frame. First of all, prayers and thoughts to every family involved. It's just a tragedy. Anytime somebody loses somebody in a shooting, anytime one of these mass shootings occurs and, you know, people act out in this kind of rage, it's always very just, it's sad. It's just really just depressing. I mean, I don't know what words to put it into, because that's what it is. It's just very much a tragedy. And I know me and you both were kind of shocked, but not shocked at the same time, because we've kind of gotten used to this here in the United States, is just this idea that we have to live with, you know, what mass shooting happened today and who shot who. And, you know, ever since 1999, it's been kind of just normal news that we see this kind of increase on a regular basis. So definitely thoughts and prayers to everybody involved. Just terrible. You're just living your life and you just get gunned down like that. Just an awful situation. Very, very sad.
And then, of course, the reason why we're discussing it, as I have my Buddhism is my religion shirt on and sit here, like, we don't want to make light of this. If you listen to the show, then you know the kind of foolishness that we deal with. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's stress relief. Sometimes we can go too far. But like, you know, Brian was saying, I mean, our conversations wrapped around these types of issues and how we ended up in video games were ways to escape some of the foolishness, some of the, you know, divisiveness, some of the things that's going on in the news and entertainment. When you just factually look around, I like a lot of us like some of the same things. And what's one of those things? Gaming. And we discuss it all the time. Gaming industry, not politicians are really getting into it again in that, you know, decade cycle of everything. You know, the gaming industry is larger than movies and music, you know what I'm saying, combined. So, of course, we got to discuss that because at this point, I think it's, just had to look it up again, it's the 249th mass shooting this year.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
No, it was just 250. It actually, wow. Yeah. I was, somebody that I would say is a respectable advocate. I shouldn't even put her out there, but Krista Borderline, South Louisiana, great person, you know what I'm saying? When Mike Brown get murdered and some, I don't know, she's just a real righteous person to me in a lot of ways. But when she put that shit up immediately, it was just like, as she was putting it up, had to change it because it was the 250th shooting, you know what I mean? And like you said, it's to the point now where I don't know if it's that we're getting numb to it that's the issue, or is that it's shocking. And I mean, that's what we'll probably just try to flesh out in this conversation as, and like you say, anybody that listens to us, no, we run off at the mouth. Normally it's foolishness, like something off the dome. I don't know, I think this will be like one of those old school, you'll get to really see how the show got started. Like,
yeah,
if you want the extra foolishness, you can probably go back. You know what I'm saying? I did want to shout out a couple of people, though, real quick.
Yeah.
Into our little thing, if that's cool. I know, you know, we off our normal schedule. I got to shout out my sister, like usual, always, because I know she listening. You know what I'm saying? For putting me on Woo Assassins to try to help me get through the week.
I almost started that last night, and I need to go back and start it because I hear good things. I hear it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll talk about that one after we finish recording for sure. Of course, JB, Jared Bates, I ain't forgot about your shirt. You already know. Shanice, as usual, thank you for getting a shirt. That shit was fucking appreciative for the tribe, you know what I'm saying? Matthew Tango, I ain't forgot about you either with the fantasy football thing. Like, I don't know. You want, like, we want to talk about it after we record? I don't know. It's kind of like off the cuff.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about it after.
Because I think it might. Yeah. I'm not. Honestly, bro, I don't really do fantasy football. I'd really actually prefer like a Madden franchise, maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think that like kind of be more in line with us.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? If we was going to go that route. But I'm not opposed to the football thing. And I got to give a shout out to a listener, Andy, you know what I'm saying, that I fuck with. He did say, you know, you be hitting that vape harder than a motherfucker. I had to check myself.
No, I do.
That's how. Well, he be quoting shit. He be quoting shit. I know he actually be listening. I said, I'm gonna have to tell him that shit when we record.
Last week with the vape, that was my bad. I realized that after the recording, but I was having issues with my coil, and it was just natural for me to try to blow my coil out because I use sugary like vape juice. And it burns onto the coil. That was my bad. So I will try to avoid that.
You're my friend. You weren't there for the conversation, though. So I said off the dome, I was like, you know, maybe that week he probably was just whatever. He was just like, nah, man, it's a lot. Tell your boy, please, for me personally. You know what I'm saying? I was like, all right, I'll let him know.
No, that was my bad.
Nah, you good.
We also have a couple of emails that I wanted to read before we move on. Michael Clower emailed in. He said, hey, I'd love one of those fancy shirts. I was trying to find y'all all over on Backpage.com, but I see some of y'all is lower level employees on there, and I figure I could just give one of them a few bucks and I could take the sleeves off the shirt for me. Get two birds stoned at once, you see? ? That one made me giggle. I really like that one. And he titled that one, Come Blasters the Boys. We also got an email from Aaron. It said, let's hear it for the boys. He said, y'all said to email when we made it to this point in the show, so here I am. This week's episode was amazing and so funny as always. The STTP shirt is amazing, and I got to get one someday. Thank you for putting on the show for the all of us tribe members and everyone. Thank you so much, Aaron. That's really cool to hear. We got a lot of good feedback on last week's episode, too, specifically from the tribe. People who really seemed to respond to the insanity that was last week's episode, where I decided to blow the microphone out and destroy the microphone completely. Anthony Sandora, he put up, today's episode had my throat hurting from laughing so much. Let's go fucking kill Pennywise. Be fair, I didn't even remember the Pennywise part until I went back and re-listened to it. And I was like, oh yeah, we did talk about Pennywise in that episode. And then on Twitter, we got a response from Trevor, who said, I agree with your opinion at 58 minutes and 40 seconds on people insulting God. I'm spiritual as well and dislike when this happens. On another note, I've never heard you get so angry, LOL. I was a little wild last week, Todd, so I'm a little bit more mellow this week. I think my vape is fixed, unlike last week, and I think that was probably irritating me a little bit. So I think it's good to be mellow, man, for this discussion.
Last week, you know, I'm going to be consistent on this, man. Like, you put out some insightful information about what was going on with the whole The Boys series. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For real. That's like, I was like, I didn't even know who fucking Garth Ennis was. It wasn't that deep. So, I personally, you know how that shit go, bro. This ain't nothing new. You know I appreciate your motherfucking perspective. But that do remind me one more thing, man, about my sister. It's funny. She has some shit going on right now. And I don't know if it tied to just this open discussion we gonna have. But she was referencing The Boys, and she was having a day, and she was just like, man, I just feel like, you know, I'm in a stage of that dick in my face, you know, stage, like, yeah. Right now, like, Starlight, like, straight up, like, life is just, you know, we got to get through it, but right now, I got a dick in my face. So, let you, I don't know, man. It's a weird
I connect with that, though, because that is, right. Like, sometimes that's how life do face. Feel. Yes. Like, it's just right there, and you're just like, I don't know. No, not right now. Not today. No dick in the face today. I don't need this right now.
Ain't going to be no dick in my face. It's going to be dick in other people's face.
But it does feel like that some days, where you're just like, the world is just trying to set me on fire today. We talked right. A little bit about that this week. And I brought this phrase up that I've said to you, and it's one thing that we talk about, because it'll tie back into the discussion we have today. And it does have to do with mental health and kind of keeping yourself a little bit sane. And we'll discuss some of the tactics that we use today to kind of, you know, decompress or kind of re-engage with ourselves personally. But part of that, too, is not setting yourself on fire to keep other people warm. And we talked a little bit about that this week. And I think when you start doing that kind of activity where you're really like struggling to stretch yourself thin and not taking the time for yourself, that's when life can start to feel like that. Is, you know, when you don't have enough time for yourself and you're trying to take care of too many people. Because I think there's a lot of natural tendencies for us as people to try to take care of others. And I think that more people struggle with that than not, and so they have to kind of turn that side of themselves off a little bit, and they become a little bit more calloused, and there's this weird fine balance. But, you know, going back to your sister's point, that is very much a, yeah, when it's 100 degrees outside and you got a billion things to do and you can't seem to do anything right, that's when life feels like that, for sure.
Well, I also think it was more so of just relating to, we were talking about The Boys series thing and going back to just the overall sickness of society.
Oh yeah.
Overall, specifically corporations.
Oh,
specifically
for sure.
Corporations, and you know, like some of the downfalls of a capitalistic system. No system is perfect.
No
system is perfect. So that dick in the face is like, I think a lot of people is more so feeling, you know, abject, they feel like poverty on the inside, even when they're able to have more things than most countries, quote unquote, would have. You know what I'm saying? And why is that? Where does that emptiness come from? Where does that feeling come from? What is that dread, that sense of slavery that, you know, everybody is at least, you know, you got $50,000, $100,000 in debt for trying to learn something in the system. It just, it's doesn't make a lot of sense when the wealth equality is stretching more. And
yeah,
I don't know. It's just a lot to it. You know what I'm saying? Lack of leadership, lack of true communication. You know what I'm saying? Not being able to trust even what you see or what you hear. Lower attention spans.
Yeah.
Desensitization from I think it's a little bit deeper than just, you know, stretching yourself thin. I think that may have been specifically with the El Paso shooting. One of the things with that specific shooting that was more prevalent than the other 250. I think the Vegas shooting was shocking. I think.
Yep.
I mean, all of these shootings are shocking, and we'll get into that a little bit more down the road. But him being isolated in a sense, or actually him finding a community that supported his ideals.
Yeah.
That presented in his manifesto were kind of eye opening, and it's more. I think that's something that sends more of a shockwave to people.
Yeah.
Because of that. Like that makes people a little bit more edgy, I believe. You know, and I'm glad that we didn't, the way we do our show, we're not like a reactionary show immediately. We do our schedule, you know what I'm saying? We record and we try to, when things happen, if it's within that time frame, cool. But I'm thankful when we have time to sit on it, think about it, fall back, you know, break the trend a little bit, and I just stick with the introduction and just try to have a conversation, try to work this thing out. Because this is to get ahead of this, and then we can come back to it. One of the things that I know both me and Brian do, and one of the reasons why the show started, I say it all the time, it's about bringing different people together that seemingly wouldn't have a lot in common, come from different places, but find that we have a lot of things in common. And it's very therapeutic for us as well. As the curators of the show, you know what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
When the hard times come, it's something it's very fulfilling when we can look around at the tribe and have a little family that we built where we can kind of talk these things out, give feedback and see what people think. So, that's still feels like a dick in somebody's face though. It's not going to be me.
No, not me. Don't put it in my face.
Call of Duty, bitch. But anyway.
But no, man, it is. It's, you know, I think you're right. I think the El Paso shooting, because of the manifesto and because of the community he had that kind of reinforced these ideas and get stuck in that echo chamber, I think it shocked people a little bit more. I mean, I think the Vegas shooting too was kind of a similar vein, where it was definitely a premeditated. Because the other thing too is that the really shocking ones we've seen over the last 10 years or so, if you think about them, have all been, you know, whether it be Sandy Hook or whether it be Aurora or Walmart or any of these facilities, it all feels very premeditated. He's got a point to make, the person causing the shooting, and he's got either a manifesto or an idea or a concept of what he was wanting to do. And you could tell that there was a lot of planning that went into this. The ones, I mean, you remember back in the 90s when people would talk about going postal, because postal workers were, you know, getting laid off and they'd go in there and shoot people out of, you know, people would talk about that and it'd feel more like a revenge killing in a lot of ways, like trying to go after people. I think there's one specific reference shooting when it came to that, but these felt a little bit more because it was so, you were just trying to inflict pain and anger. And trying to make the world feel
because Doom
European.
Existed.
Oh, yeah.
It was because
of
Doom
course.
Existed.
Of course. That's the other reason we're talking about this week, is because politicians and the media have decided that video games are again the cause of this violence. Again.
That's really the reason why we're going to having this conversation.
Yes.
That's really the reason, because it's beyond insane at this point in 2019, to me, personally.
Me too. There's a study that I looked up that. It's the American APA, the American Psychiatric Association, I think is what it's called. APA, whatever. They did this study that's constantly referenced by people where there's a line in the study that says, oh, yeah, video games have a tendency to influence violent behavior. It was a study done in, I think, 2011 or 2012, somewhere down the line. Here's the thing about that study, though. This is constantly quoted by politicians. I see it all the time where it says video games have a tendency to increase violent tendencies. However, in that study, if you look at everything they did not study, so they only studied the correlation between violent video games and violent behavior. They did not study sociological factors. They did not study psychological factors. They did not study it on a male or female gender basis. They didn't study on socioeconomic factors. They didn't study it on where people grew up. They didn't study any on people's home life. All they did was go, is this person violent and do they play violent video games? And that's where they left the study at. And they did it via a survey between teachers, parents, and that was it. So they surveyed teachers and parents, and that's what the answer that they came up with. So this is the study that's constantly being thrown out there that's going, hey, clearly the APA thinks that violent video games have a tendency to affect, you know, violent outbursts and behavior. And if you really start to look into what the resources they were using, it comes up short because you're not considering a whole lot of different information. When I think that the most recent information done by independents have shown that, yeah, violent video games can increase somebody who's already having some type of violent reaction. Sometimes it just depends. Like, it always comes down to that. Really, it depends on the home life, the socioeconomic life, and where that person grew up and the environment they grew up in. But it's one of those things is that it's also been shown, and we've talked about this before, that violent video games have a tendency to be outlets for people who are prone to some type of violent behavior, and it lets them kind of have that cathartic release that they need to kind of get that off. And let's face it, Todd, what were you thinking? Most of these shootings are outside of some outliers are between 13 and 22, 23, 24 years old. When you're a male that age, your testosterone's running so high most of the time, you have a tendency to be a little bit angry about things, especially if life's not exactly going the way that you planned or the thing that you wanted. So everything pisses you off. I remember being 21, 22 and just being very aggressive all the time. And that is not who I am anymore. You know, I finally chilled out after a while, but I know that one of the things that personally helped me was stuff like Grand Theft Auto. Playing it for hours on end and just, you know, getting that kind of kick that I needed at that time to address that aggressive animalistic behavior that was kind of locked inside that lizard brain of mine, if you will. I mean, that's just kind of one of the things that I looked at was that APA study and then realizing that nobody in the APA actually followed up on, they basically wrote it up and they sent it out there and then it was done. And, you know, it's, oh, okay, now we can quote this and make the politicians happy. But that is kind of the first reason that we're here is to discuss that concept of violent video games being responsible for these kind of mass shootings, which my understanding is there's no clear tie or evidence to that whatsoever. But yeah, we want to blame it as absolutely a society.
So my question to you, though, with that is, then why are the politicians going, does it concern you that the politicians are obviously using distractive language?
Yes, it does, because you don't address the root cause. You don't address the real cause when you want a scapegoat. It's, you know, you see it a lot of the times with certain cases, especially with convictions. There was a documentary recently on HBO. It was called Who Murdered Garrett Phillips, or Who Killed Garrett Phillips. I believe that was the title. Sorry if I got it wrong. But it was the small town in New York where you had two individuals who could be suspected in the case, but they took the easy conviction, which happened to be one of the only black men in town. And they were using a scapegoat. So this, it was clear from all the evidence aside that he had nothing to do with this whatsoever. He had nothing to do with this murder whatsoever. And you turn around and they tried to railroad him and tried to force this conviction on him. And it didn't work. So the entire time that they're spending this money, energy, time, and effort into convicting this one man, they turn around and the guy who's out there who's actually responsible for the murder is getting away. You know, if you start to use scapegoats to try to patch a problem and to appease the public, you're missing the root cause. And I couldn't tell you what the root cause of these violent shootings is. I can tell you I have ideas for what these are. And I think some of those ideas for me are the mental health in America, the idea that we're not supposed to be living the way that we're living right now, big cities that, you know, capitalize on the fact that they attract these businesses and it's this commerce and this free market, quote unquote, that we live in. But we've allowed corporations to influence laws because they write the laws now. And when you allow corporations to influence laws that directly affect the people, you directly affect people's mental health because of the way they have to work to support their family. I was reading online last night that an elderly couple was found dead after a murder-suicide, and they left notes citing medical bills, and they just couldn't live. They just couldn't keep living this way. They're in their 70s, worked their entire life, and they couldn't keep living this way because of this. And, you know, that's a strain on people. I mean, it's when you start taking into consideration every facet of your life and you start thinking medical bills, job, I'm tired all the time. I don't have time for myself. I don't have time for my wife, my kids, because I'm working 60, 70 hours a week just trying to get by. You know, you start thinking about that, and that takes a toll on somebody. Regardless of how strong that person is, eventually it's kind of like that lodestone that you wear around your neck. It's just going to keep weighing you down and weighing you down. And so when people have violent reactions, you know, it's not really shocking anymore. I think the school shootings were when they first started with Columbine, because it was kind of so out of left field. But I think as we've continued to go down this path and see that people struggle mentally and that people are now taking the stigma off of mental health and talking about it, I think that, you know, that could be the real issue. And when we blame violent video games or violent movies or violent TV shows, we're not addressing people's real concerns. We're not getting at the actual cause of things. So yeah, that's what bothers me about it, is it's a waste of time, energy, and money. And it's almost a waste of a discussion for them to have. So that's why we're here, to remind you, hey, let's not put too much weight into these idiot politicians who have never played a video game. Because, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. I'll just flat out say that. They just don't. They have no clue. Todd, what do you think?
A smidgen of devil's advocate. I mean, we've also had shows where we've discussed like a rise in specific video games that's focused on white supremacy and actually going around and killing minorities and having issues with that. I don't even know if we really went on depth on the show, but I know we talked about it personally here.
There has been a...
I don't know, man.
Oh, go ahead, Todd. I was going to say, no, there's also been a rise of those video games. Thankfully, those aren't huge in the public eye because you have to get those privately. They're awful video games, and they get removed from Steam and places like that. But they also do allow people to sit there in their echo chambers and kind of feed off of each other. And, you know, they allow them to kind of reinforce their own ideas and these, you know, this insane idea that they have that there's something... Yeah, they think they're better. Yeah, that's a really depressing side of things too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm not gonna lie. Like, overall, I think, just to get straight to it, I think this is having... Okay, let me go back. Trevor Noah made a good example of watching a video in New York where, and I haven't seen it myself, but, you know, you can fact check it. Trevor Noah said it, so fuck it. If he lying, he making me lie. But, in New York, some vehicle was backfiring in the middle of Times Square. You know, that's an international area. This is not just America's. This is full of all different types of people.
Agreed.
And the vehicle starts backfiring. It's like mass hysteria. People are panicking because they're thinking it's a shootout.
Yeah.
Right? And I was watching another video somebody posted. It was a veteran that was talking about from between like 1978 and... like it's like a 54. It was like a very long period of time where there were like 54 mass murders, like 54 years or some shit. And then like in the past few years, basically, it's been, I mean, this year, just this year.
Yeah.
My fault. Just this year. It's like I said earlier, it's been 250 fucking mass shootings. You know what I'm saying? I think this is having a deeper rooted effect on overall society. I mean, last year when I went back to home for Christmas just to go visit my family and go watch Spider-Verse, take my mom and my sister and my old lady to the movies, the only movie theater that was available at the time for Christmas time, there was a mass shooting in Lafayette, Louisiana, where I'm from. So, I mean, it's one of these things where I think as a society, there's such toxicity overall for several reasons. One of the reasons why we started talking about this show and trying to find our own angle in our own life, like we prefaced, where it's putting continuous stress on us. And then we have a lot of unhealthy habits. I'm addicted to my phone just like everybody else. Too much information intake. You just discuss it all the time. We live in certain environments in our metropolitan area. The question is, are we even really designed to live in these environments? The way our whole economic structure is not structured around healthy communities anymore, and you can seclude yourself in a lot of ways easily. I don't even have to go outside to go down to the local bakery to get some fresh bread.
Yeah.
I just can order it on a fucking Uber or something else like that. So it can breed a weird mix and melting pot that's turning a little bit toxic, putting stress on people. I think it just felt like a weird energy all week. Like I've been off. I'm off right now.
Yeah.
To try to separate these things, to compartmentalize too much as a society, I think, is part of this issue. And as I always say, when you don't call a thing a thing,
yep,
when you don't call white supremacy, domestic terrorism a thing over and over again, like have you shot an automatic weapon? Have you shot an AK-47 before?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
For what?
Yeah. Just
like in your dated, like, okay, how did it make you feel?
Makes you feel powerful. I'm not gonna lie, right? It makes you feel powerful to go out there and shoot that. It's an incredibly, how to put it, it's cathartic in a lot of ways. Because when you don't have control of life, you've got control of this very powerful tool. Now, we're shooting it at targets in the country, but yes, it does make you feel very powerful.
Right, because it's this weird thing as a human being, I think. It's a primal thing with, you know, the animalistic side of it, right? Outside of the toxicity. Like, I was laying up with my old lady last night watching, flipping through Netflix, and this scare tactic little thumbnail came up. And if you look at it, it's like this little person that looks real creepy or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, could you imagine if that motherfucker was in the corner in the room or something, like looking like a little creepy little person? We'd have to kill that thing. And immediately after we kill it, like bash his head in and bloody pulp together. And I was like, you down? You gonna kill it with me? She was just like, of course I would kill it with you. I was like, great. And then we would have to have sex and then go to Waffle House and have breakfast in the morning. Like, I think there's something in human beings,
yeah,
that it's like a dark area, just survival through evolution. Like, okay, that's just what it is. But in modern day society, it's not really necessary. And then when you throw in unnecessary weapons.
Agreed.
Like, I'm not trying to have a layered gun fucking regulation conversation, because I generally don't care. Like, I would hope never to need a chopper, as I would call it, in my life again. You know what I'm saying? Like, the only time I was around the motherfuckers, it was for some real, it felt necessary, but unnecessary got me in trouble situations. You know what I'm saying? Partially the environment. But I don't know. I think the main thing that you hit earlier, basically what I'm kind of prefacing and just kind of glazing over a little bit, not doing a good job of discussing, is just the overall mental health of the society mixed in with it's just a weird greed, gluttonous, hunger games of a place.
Yeah.
That I would hate for the one kind of thing where I think we still have some revolutionary hope. Like, the power of gaming has bubbled, and the other side of that animalistic nature is a lot that has to deal with the gaming industry. You know, but all things, if the whole overall thing is sick, if we're not careful, the thing that we're trying to defend, we will become a part of the fucking problem.
Absolutely.
We're not paying attention to the fact, well, okay, does the military use video games to train people? Is that a factual statement?
Yes.
Could it possibly affect or help to trigger when you not only have 400 million guns in the country, on top of that, you have a first-person shooter, culture in itself. We just talked about this shit. We were talking about Madden last week as the shooting was happening.
Yep.
Thinking about what happened in the shooting because of the Mutt tournament in Florida just last year. Like, this is some weird, unexplainable shit.
Yep.
You know, and as much as I want to get pissed off at Tyson, I mean, that Trump, like, I think about shit, just the clownness and buffoonery of the whole situation. I mean, Tyson was sitting next to Muhammad Ali at the goddamn Tyson's Larry Holmes fight back when that shit happened back in the day. Like, this is the society we live in.
Yeah.
So, for somebody that's obviously, you know, in leadership that's been directly called a bigot prior to him even getting elected. And I'm telling you, I promise it sounds like I give a fuck about this more than I do. But I'm just talking this out as we just talked.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, where the finger was pointed at white supremacy is just a disgrace to the, you know, to the office, basically, and just no direction. And you have an increase. And this isn't all his fault. Mass shootings have been going on for a while. This isn't his fault. But I'm saying, is it leaning this way because of the sickness in the society where this could even happen, that be our leader? Somebody that actually represents a lot of the things that were in this young man's manifesto.
And it actually gives support to those things. It gives it, if this is the case, if our leader's like this, then we can be like
in
this.
The manifesto itself, he said that we would blame Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That this had nothing to do with Trump.
Yep.
Trump is the reason why we're even talking about this. So if you feel some type of way personally about the shit, I mean, I hope at this point, I don't think anybody, I mean, really, I don't care. If you feel some type of way about anything I just said, I mean, you probably catch shit out your own ass. And I told you last week and the week before, if you don't let the shit hit the water, that's the only person that's not welcome. You don't have to agree.
I agree. You could agree.
You don't have to agree. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I promise you, I don't give a fuck. I don't really have a right to even talk about this shit. I've never had an opportunity to vote. I was on the run for 10 years. I don't give a goddamn about all that anyway. My political views, you already know. I believe we live in an oligarchy, and I mean, it is what it is. You know, it's never been true democracy for me any motherfucking way in my eyes. You know what I'm saying? But don't get me wrong. I'm thankful that I'm alive. I'm thankful for who I am. I'm thankful for my own struggle. You know what I'm saying? But just from my perspective, I've seen so many black people killed for no goddamn reason in this country, incarcerated for no goddamn reason.
Yep.
You know, more so than anything, characters assassinated. Like, I'm curious to all these niggas that's killing each other in Chicago, why they not going around just going into white churches and shooting 50,000 people or 50 people? Why is that not happening?
Yep.
That's a legitimate question. Like, I'm asking you from your perspective. I know I was kind of talking, but that's a curious question. Like, all these black people that's put in these ghettos, that's doing things that's really hard for outer and broader countries, I mean, broader, the majority of people in this country to really understand what they going through and why they going through it. It's just hard to fathom. Yeah. Why aren't those people, the ones that we're taught to be so fearful of, not going into the white churches with guns that I know that they got, they shooting each other and shooting 50 people since that have enslaved them, their parents, kept them down systematically the whole, like, why is that? And why is it that these people can be dismissed, shut down? I mean, when black people was killing crazy people, going crazy with machine guns in 1994, we just talked about this before this last shooting, they put a ban on assault rifles.
Yep.
All these young white people, these are young white men between the ages of 13 and 24, massively over that. Like, right now, if they said, we need to put a ban on motherfucking guns, it's kind of commonsensical.
It's common sense to me.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, period. You know what I mean? Yeah. That, now, it's also, it's common sense in a sense, but it's also a situation where it's kind of pipe dreamy with the structure of the country, yeah. I think. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I also think it's foolish as far as to sit back with the Constitution and think that the Second Amendment is something that's reasonable, like, to protect us from the government. Like, did you see the protest in Baton Rouge when Mike Brown died? Like, do you see these pictures of the military state that we live in? Do you think your 100 guns and your is going to stop them? Have you ever seen a battleship?
Seriously? With rockets? And airplanes? Freaking Top Gun? You seen Top Gun? I mean, they got them planes that can fly upside down.
Right. You know what I mean? But it just breaks my heart more than anything. Yeah. It makes me sad. I think, I mean, I'm not out here. I don't get paid to fucking figure out how to stop gun violence in the country. None of us do. But there I mean, is... I think we start calling things things and just talk about it. Don't be afraid of that.
Thank
so
you.
We can really actually work this fucking thing out. Like, stop. It's just like, damn, you getting so fearful of just saying the wrong thing when it's just like sometimes you just got to call a thing, man, and continue to call that thing a thing. It's okay to demonize shit that's in your self-interest to protect yourself.
Absolutely. See,
but I also think we live in a Spartan culture. It's like that 300 movie. I didn't mean to cut you off. I need to let you read on it
because
I'm all back. But I'm serious. I mean, shit, all you had to do was watch 300 and see how that society was built. It was set around making sure that this young 13 or some extra white dude would go to the other area and he didn't become a man. It's like almost like a rite of passage goddamn near.
Yeah. I mean, no, it's this weird. I want to kind of go back to your other point, too, that you started with, which is, you know, why aren't these guys with the guns who have been oppressed by society for the last, you know, 250, 300 years shooting up white churches? You know, why are we not seeing that sort of action or behavior? There's a reason for that. It's because, well, I mean, I'm not going to get into the reason of that because I don't know the psychology behind it. However,
I'll put you on the spot. Put you on the spot. It's fair what's your perspective on it?
My perspective on it. My perspective is that no matter what the radical right tells you, and no matter what the white supremacy dialogue tells you about people who are different from them being violent, that is not the case. The violence is not directed at white culture or white people. It never has been. There's a rule of survival that people are just trying to survive. And the reason, and it's hard for me to put it into phrase or words, but I've talked to you about this because of what I do in my job, where I can go to South Dallas, which if you're not from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, South Dallas is essentially a very downtrodden, poor area. It's a very poor neighborhood where people will always warn you, don't get out of your car. Don't go there at night. The cops just roll through those neighborhoods. I can go out there and I'm super comfortable. I'm fine because I recognize that people are trying to survive. That's what they're trying to do. People are trying to survive because everybody is trying to survive. But if you put me out in the middle of the country in the Children of the Corn neighborhood where I see a sign that says we shoot before we ask questions or we don't call cops and I see you got six dogs and that property is gated, I'm going to be super uncomfortable with that. I'm going to be uncomfortable, but you put me in the middle of South because there is a survival instinct. And I think if you start reading past what the media and the right wing talk and these actions start to tell you, it's 99% of people I know are just trying to survive. They're just trying to get by and they're just trying to live their lives, regardless of what that life is, or regardless of whether or not you grew up with the same religion, you grew up with the same politics, you grew up with the same moral spectrum that was given to you by your parents or taught to you by your parents. You are just trying to get by and survive to the next day and trying to figure out. And a lot of people, more people than we talk about in this nation, are struggling to pay rent. They're struggling to get a roof over their heads. They're struggling to know where their next meal comes from. And that's a lot of people, man. And, you know, the reality too is that when you have people who are put into systematic racist structures and you have people where laws are built to be your oppressor now, because you can't have a group that, you know, physically oppresses another one outright spoken now. So you have to do it through the laws that are made. I mean, I want to go back to a book that I read a long time ago called Racism in the Law. It's by a guy named Dr. King. He's a Harvard law professor. So, I mean, the question I'll leave with the folks or SDT, if you didn't know this, if people didn't know this, there is a punishable difference between liquid cocaine and powder cocaine. Liquid cocaine comes with an extreme life sentence, or not always life sentence, but extreme punishment. I'm talking about 30, 40, 50 years in jail. Powder cocaine, and this was all done in the 80s, comes with a much lighter sentence, often probation or a slap on the wrist. So I want you to think about that for a second, then think about statistically speaking in the 80s and 90s where you'd find powder cocaine versus where you find liquid cocaine. It's just, it's built into the law. It's built into the narrative of this country. I mean, I was listening to something the other day, and I think it was the guy on Joe Rogan's show. We just talked about this episode. It was a good episode. The one before Bernie Sanders. What's that guy's name?
The fro he always on CNN and The Gap.
Yeah.
The fucking genius.
Genius, man.
It slipped my name last time. I smoked too much, man.
You know who I'm talking about, though.
That brother, man. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Brilliant, brilliant dude.
Right.
But he got on there and he pointed out something that I had never thought about that before. He says, when you came over to America, he says, whether you were white, black, or Asian, he says, whatever country you're from, because he says, when you came over to America, you were identified by the country you came from because you had that heritage. You were Romanian, you were African, you were Ethiopian, you were, you know, Filipino, you were Vietnamese, whatever. But when you came over to America and you got off on those shores, they asked you, are you white, black, or Asian, or Hispanic? And they bucket you in these kind of groups together. And it's this weird, like he talks about the loss of identity and how that's been something that we've been doing for the last 300 years. And he says it started with slavery because, you know, when people came over on the boats, they lost their identity. They lost their humanity. They lost their what made them a person in the eyes of the law. And I thought that was a really good point. And I had never thought about it from that perspective of the loss of identity. And I think we live in a very damaging society where we have a society that's constantly trying to enforce an identity upon us based off of checkboxes and marks. And, you know, I think that can be a very mental health struggle, too.
That's a great point because, I mean, he did make that point. He did make that point where you come over here as an Italian-American and, you know, you were Italian, but you could be like, look, all right, you white. So it's just like, all right, either are you Italian or are you white? Like, if you Italian, you're going to be back here with the darkies. You know what I'm saying? If you white, then you just white. And then it kind of, same kind of heritages, same kind of struggles historically, the whole nine. I think now, though, in a global economy where it's a whole lot of other shit going on that's influencing our culture, I say that shit a lot. Now it's true. Like, it's the reason, you know, China don't allow a lot of games. We just had conversations about this. As far as, like, a lot of these games that's getting banned and Walmart is banned and stuff and all kinds of other stuff. These are things that happen in China. These are, you know what I'm saying? They don't have free speech like we have. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's to the point now where it's not a black and white thing in this sense. We all go to Walmart.
Yep.
We all go to the movies.
Yep.
We all want to go to Vegas. We all want to go outside our door. We all want to go to the mall or Target.
Yep.
Or a local bar to a party with people, even if just you're gay in the country or you're black or you're white or you're Hispanic or you're whatever. So at some point, we have to figure out a way to continue to communicate, to point these things out, call things things, those things. It's a tragedy what's going on in Chicago, just like it's a tragedy what's going on with our with these shootings. It's a tragedy what's going on with people dying from sickness and flu. Life expectancy in this country has gone down for the first time in quite a long time. It's a tragedy what's going on with mental health. It's a tragedy in some ways that's going on with the video game industry, with the greed, because it's a reflection of what's going on with the separation of wealth in this country. But if we can't do nothing else, like those party lines that we all stand on, because I swear I could be on some straight Martin Luther King, Louis Farrakhan, Alex Jones shit up in this bitch, you know what I'm saying? But that's not the point. The point is we got to figure out a way to say, okay, all right, how do we really put together a system where we can start addressing these things and not shine away from the facts of it and actually stop saying, everybody's saying this, but it's true. We all need, I didn't just send my thoughts and prayers out this time because, I mean, one of our first dozen shows, I think we donated some shit to the high school shooting that happened last year. It's like, goddamn, like, what else are we, like, what, as tribe members, what do you guys think we should do?
Yep.
Let's have a discussion about this. I'm really serious. I'm curious, you know what I'm saying, on just a certain people, you know. Matt, what you think, bro? Like, what are y'all thoughts on how do we fix this? How do we start to try to change the trajectory of this? Because right now, the only thing I see is waves of this,
yep,
ebbs and flows, where it's to the point where it's inevitable. Because everybody wants to send their thoughts and prayers on some shit until it drop right on their doorstep.
Yep.
Right? So it's a situation where if we're not careful, it's going to be right on your doorstep. We could all find contrarian information and be like, well, it's not this or that. It's about a body count and all this other kind of stuff. Nah, when you do comparison, if you, okay, this, the whole world is looking at this. How does the world see us in a global economy? How will history see us? I told you a long time ago, it's a real interesting thing. I always love watching Third Reich documentaries. I really love that shit. And Egyptian culture documentaries for a reason. How will societies and worlds look at us? What kind of value are we bringing? Are we just in the process of self-destruction with a trajectory that's not, you know, it's nothing we can do about it? I don't think that's the case, but...
I don't think it is either. I mean, I don't know the answer. I think it's a dialogue. I think it's, you know, getting together and kind of discussing it amongst each other. I think it's a good call out to the tribe to, you know, how do we do this? How do we establish something that works and something...
I legitimately don't think it would hurt to just reform the laws at this point, though. Personally, I'll just throw that out there.
I don't think
that's the answer. I'd like it's because then when you say that, people will be like, well, there's 400 million guns, and then just the bad people will have the guns. So sells society, most of the bad people not around here killing people.
Yeah.
It's the mentally ill.
Yeah.
It's not the criminals. It's not the criminals that are being portrayed and the cops and robbers that are going around in the churches murdering 12 people. Or Walmart. Those aren't the people, that demographic, that's doing that. So what's that, like, that whole the criminals are going to have an argument. When do these people become criminals?
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, it's true. When, I mean, the reformation of the law is something that we've typically done in the United States, except for this situation, which is baffling to me. It's a little baffling to me that it hasn't been, you know, but like you said, in the 90s, assault rifles were banned. But suddenly, because it's not where the violence is and who it's affecting, is all of a sudden like, oh, okay, well, maybe we should discuss this for a little bit. Maybe we should not ban these assault rifles or these, you know, bump stocks, because the second, you know, the we have the freedom to own the arms in America. And I like guns. I like guns personally. But I think that there's no reason for anybody to own an assault rifle personally. I mean, I don't see a reason for it. I don't. If you can give me a legitimate reason for it, let me know. Because I promise you, my 38 Magnum handgun that I got in there is going to stop somebody just as much as an assault rifle is if they try to break into my home. So that's my question, is what's the reason that we haven't gone that step and started to ban that stuff? But I mean, it's a good question. It's, you know, also, where do we address the mental health? Where do we address it on a video game side as a community? You know, because we know that censorship, like you brought up earlier, Todd, China doesn't have these things. But China also doesn't have a lot of freedom, and there's mass protests going on and people committing suicide every day. So.
Same thing here, though.
Exactly. Same thing here. Mass suicide all over the place, too. So it's
suicide rates are up, especially amongst teenage girls, shit like that. Teenage boys, when they're during their aggressive age, prior to their brains fully forming, committing mass motherfucking murder from fear. It always traces back to fear. What do you feel for love or guilt? Where is this coming from? Do we, you know what I'm saying? Like, when it gets to the point where we are blatantly, overwhelmingly, you know, the only country in the world going through this, like, and we're basically giving ourselves cancer. That's the problem.
Oh yeah.
Like, if it wasn't something like that, then I mean, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a pussy. Of course, I was born to love guns. I was raised watching cowboy movies and John Wayne being Genghis Khan. Everything is perfect here. I'm just saying, it's like, it has to be a stopping and a tipping point.
There does.
And that, especially when it comes back to 2019 and you hearing fucking Donald Trump and politicians really sit here and talk about video games. And it, that's the level of it. When you really, like, goddamn, like, we really repeating this 1994 shit, 95 shit. Like,
Like, seriously, Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
Digital titties are the reason.
Marilyn,
you know how many lives? You know how many lives digital titties have saved?
So many. My teenage age, huh?
Millions.
Nah, next thing you know, they're going to be blaming Marilyn Manson again. All over. He hasn't had an album come out in 3 years.
I don't know, bro. I don't know, man. I don't know. That maybe this is why the Egyptians disappeared. Yeah. Maybe this is what happened.
This is what happened.
Maybe it was like, you know.
But I think it kind of goes back to a point, too, is calling a thing a thing. Like, I think people are so much sick of the bullshit, too, that just gets fed to us on a daily basis. They get tired of people just not telling the truth and not calling a thing a thing. You know, this was the first time I think the El Paso shooting was identified by the FBI as a domestic terrorist event. But how many have there been? And this is the first time that you're willing to put that stamp on there, calling it domestic terrorism.
I think that he posted his manifesto on 8chan, and the feds had it was like three other mass shootings that they could apply or tag directly to it. And it's something in his insane manifesto. I actually checked it out. Like, and he made a lot of good points for the insanity of the country. And I could see why he was extremely anxious. Like, you have to be off the rip there, off the clip. And you know how I feel about the drug industry in this country.
Oh, yeah.
You
know how I feel about the
drug industry in this country. You know what I'm
saying?
Number
one prescribed medication in the United States is, I forget what it is. It's the antidepressant drug.
I thought it was the make you shit pill from opiate.
I think that's probably up there too.
Like, because there's so many pills that we take that you gotta take the pill
to help you take a crap.
Because all the pills that you gotta take for all the different shit gotta make you poop. I think Trick Daddy said it the best. Trick Daddy had
I have not heard that name in a hundred years.
Trick Daddy has lupus, and in an interview probably last year, he was talking about like how he stopped taking his lupus medication or whatever, because the medication that they was giving him for lupus, he would have to take medication for the liver and then a medication for his kidney. So he just said he kept smoking bunk, which is cocaine and weed together, and that works for him, and drinking Ciroc instead of Hennessy because it doesn't have so much sugar, and he's doing fine. I'm not saying that.
I haven't heard Trick Daddy in forever.
Shout out to Sonic. I'm not saying that people should smoke fucking cocaine with weed associated with it, but
Abilify is the number one prescribed drug in the United States. It's used to treat depression, bipolar disorder, and schizophrenia. Number one prescribed drug in the United States. Bipolar, schizophrenia, and depression. That tells you a lot about the society we live in. I like Trick Daddy's method. I'm going to go with that. Whatever I'm feeling down. Because that makes more sense to me. Or Big Mo.
Go start smoking bunk.
Get Big Mo. Get on some lean. Just, yep. Why not? Right? But no, man.
At least you'll die in your sleep.
Hey!
Not get your face blown off in the bathroom stall at Walmart.
That does bring me to another point that I wanted to touch on, Todd, is I think there's a good discussion for the tribe is some of the ways that we deal with anxiety and depression and tendencies to get overwhelmed. What do you do, man? Like, I'm curious because I could talk about all day about the things that I do, but I'm curious about what you do with some of the stuff. I know we've touched on it a little bit before, but, you know, just some things that you kind of go through on a daily basis that you know, hey, this helps me every single day.
I'm going to tell you the same thing I told the DEA dude that was in the psych ward that I had to get interviewed by before they let me go. I smoke weed, man.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I do. I don't prescribe anybody else do that shit, especially nowadays. It's especially with what they got out here now. You got to be careful with that. But I'm just saying. So, you know, I've meditated. I use a lot of tools, man. I work on it every day. I'm not far off from probably this motherfucker that drove down there in a lot of senses my goddamn self. This is what I'm trying to say, man. I'm not being judgmental like I got all the answers. Like, that's why it's getting to this point. But to keep me from going crazy, I try to keep a healthy routine, try to keep healthy people around me. I mean, as much as I complain about going to work, it's a choice for me to try to have like a quote unquote normal life. Like, I'm thankful for being able to get up and go to work and have my woman at home and making sure that everything is cool and have like that Brady Bunch kind of life. And, you know, play video games, read books, lean on people, lean on your support system, build a community, create, I paint, we, you know, talk more. If I'm having a moment, use my friend as a sounder. Bro, how many times have I called you about just the most ridiculous shit? Because anxiety, maybe overstimulation, fucking around, just trying to center myself and figure out where the fuck I'm at. And I think that's a major thing that we need to focus on. Like, who do you have around you? Do you have people that actually care for themselves enough to care about you in a healthy way? And what kind of things are you continuously putting in your brain?
Agree.
Which is another reason why I can say, okay, hey, yeah, we can't fully dismiss video games having an effect when it's such a large part of our society, but it points a bigger finger at what the fuck is going on in our society, I think, than specifically the games. And I think, but to go back to shit that I do before we started recording, I wasn't really feeling it, but my homeboy, you know, he about to have another baby. He called me, hey man, come to the park, take a 20-minute walk in the sun, go hoop. You know, I'm older than a motherfucker, but just to get outside, go talk to my partners for a little while. We forget that these things, as human beings, we need them. So as much as we talk shit about games, and as much as this is, I mean, maybe this surprisingly will be the show that is the end. You know what I'm saying? Where it's just like, I didn't come for this shit. But you know what I'm saying? Fuck it. These things have to happen, though. This is part of, selfishly, people that are listening, this is part of my therapy.
Me too.
Talking this out with my friends and you people. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we can't always reach out on social media either. It's not like we try to touch bases, but we get busy and shit like that. That's why I appreciate the community. Y'all kind of take care of yourselves in a lot of ways too, and really be peeping and put a smile on our face. But you know, if you having issues, like serious issues, that's part of the reason why we enjoy doing this collectively. I think I could kind of speak for you on that as well. Like,
absolutely,
definitely reach out to us, and we'll try to at least put you in a position, or try to, if we know somebody, or you know, it's like actually like a professional situation that needs to be addressed. I know me or Brian would take the time out to at least like shoot that shit your way. Hopefully,
for sure,
do the same thing for me, people. But what about you? You got some better, probably healthy things, man. You live a healthier life than I do.
No. I mean, I have.
CBD oil. LOUCBD.
CBD oil.
CBD oil for me actually does person a little bit. Does help with my anxiety a little bit, but that's only a part of like my Batman toolkit. Like, mental health is like, if you got issues with mental health, affected my mental health, it's like a day-to-day thing, and you got to figure out your thing. I'm not going to completely demonize medicine, but I've tried that shit too. It just was not for me.
Yeah.
But anyway, bro, what about you?
I mean, some of the stuff I do, man, we've talked about on this show over and over again. I read, I have quiet time at night where I'll turn my phone off. I'm not as engaged with my phone anymore as I used to be. I like to kind of turn it off at night, or I'll uninstall apps if I've noticed that I'm spending too much time on them. You know, I don't try to... I mentally check myself when looking at stuff like Facebook or Instagram to make sure that I'm not comparing myself to others, because I think that's a very dangerous route too, because Facebook and Instagram kind of put forth the best of somebody's life. It's like a clip show of somebody's life, and it's real easy to compare your life status with somebody else's when we're all on our own paths. We're all on our own journeys. And, you know, it's what's right for somebody else is not always right for you. I do read. I play video games. Sometimes I like to just sit and just think for 10 or 15 minutes without anything. Music's a big part of my life, too. Music's helped me more than almost anything else, I would say. It's whether it is, you know, hip hop or country music or metal. Like, it just depends on what it is. The right kind of music at the right time for me. Or just, I have a playlist of just Final Fantasy piano tracks that are just, it's just Final Fantasy music done on piano. And I find that very relaxing. Anime, manga, occasionally. you know, comic books. Sometimes what I really like to do, and the thing that I like the most, is when I'm looking for quiet time, but I don't necessarily want to be by myself. And you have to remember, this is coming from a place of somebody who's an introvert in his personal life. I can be very introverted, and I am perfectly fine with being by myself. I like to go to a restaurant like McAllister's, order a sandwich, sit down by myself, and just read a book. And I'll just sit there for 2 or 3 hours, and that's what I'll do. Is, you know, I'll just
and read. Then somebody comes in with some fucking AK-47 and shoots you in the face.
Oh no! Oh no! Not good. Not good for my reading. I was wanting to finish that book. Thank you. That was very rude of them. Very rude of them. But no, man, it's video games play a big part of it too, though. When I talk about games like Animal Crossing and Stardew Valley, which are these very peaceful, there's not anything to engage with. It's just a very, like, build a farm, harvest these things. Like, I find enjoyment in that. Like, I find that to be relaxing for myself, is to just get on this video game for an hour or two and just, hey, I'm going to raise some livestock today. You know, and it's people find it kind of silly, but I think that's why I go back to cartoons and cartoony video games a lot, like Yo-Kai Watch, is because it reminds me of my childhood to a degree. And I think there's a very peaceful place to be found when, now nostalgia can be very dangerous, but there's a peaceful place to be found when you allow yourself to just have that moment. Also recognizing the thing that I've worked on a lot over the last couple of years is recognizing how I'm feeling and recognizing how I engage with that feeling. If I'm feeling angry, realizing that it's okay to feel angry, but it's going to depend on how I respond to that anger. And I think the thing that we suffer from in society a lot that nobody really talks about, and I don't hear a lot, is, you know, I talk about the noise and all the noise that's around us and all the kind of the input that we have, but we don't allow ourselves time to question ourselves on how we're reacting to that input. We have a tendency just to kind of react. People get mad and they scream a lot on social media and stuff like that. But the thing I've worked on in the last couple of years is trying to understand why I feel the way I feel about something. You know, if I see an article, you know, it's I always have that initial response, but Todd, the way you talked about how we do our show with, hey, we let it kind of process. And I think that's how we both are, is we like to have that processing time to really, before we open up and engage and discuss those matters. And I think that's crucial. I think that's crucial to allow yourself that time. You know, because we all go through similar life experiences, big life experiences, that is. Not, we didn't grow up similarly, but there's big life experiences we all share, whether it be death, birth, you know, taxes, job loss, jobs. Like, we all have kind of these similar groups and patterns that we go through as we get older. And if you don't take time to just kind of appreciate the smaller things, and I know that's kind of trite and overused, but for me, I found that if I do take the time to appreciate something, I really enjoy that moment a little bit more. You know, I enjoy that time. I remember that just a little bit more, whether it's a good laugh. That's my number one thing, though, is to laugh. You got to be able to laugh at yourself, at society, at tragedy. And I know that sounds kind of callous, but I think that's how we deal with it personally. Now, there's an appropriate timing to that, but the classic phrase is timing plus tragedy equals comedy. And it's very true. It's that, you know, that's a reality, man, is you allow yourself that time and you can laugh about it later.
I think that's where, if anybody gets past this show and wants to go back and check out previous podcasts, you might get even more of a feel of what Brian's talking about. Because that's generally what we like to get on here do talk as foolish about whatever the fuck we want all the time. But when it's something that is so serious, repeated over and over again, and infiltrating the thing that helps to personally give us relief. Bless you, bro. Bless you.
Thank you.
But I mean, it's just time to just have a open and honest, and kind of, it's really a backdoor conversation we're just recording it, really. It's just for the tribe out there. Because I know it's people in the tribe that suffer from mental health illness.
Yeah.
Or just going through some shit. You know what I mean? Like, when I don't know how many times I've said this shit. A big reason why we do the show, like, when I was going through some of my darker times, you brought up something. Music is real important. Music ties all of this together to me, for both of us, I think. I think it kind of encompasses the whole thing. Like, if I'm painting, I'm listening to certain music. If we're playing a game, listen to music. You know, but even with that, hold on, because I'm really might not make no sense, but we'll probably have to actually edit this one. This is gonna sound like way off kilter and off base. I know I didn't finish my last statement, but hopefully it'll come together. You know, one of the reasons why I'm still hopeful for Anthem or some shit like that, what? Even though I know it's a trash flaw game. As a shooter, I just like some of the little subtle shit. Like, we've talked about this in private. Like, I was disappointed because I think I'm played out on first-person shooters because of some of just my innate concerns about overstimulation in that way. And the possibility, like, I was watching the videos, a 12-year-old that was honestly asked by his father. I think it's Soldier Rev. I watch him from time to time. He our age. He asked his son about, did he think that video games had an effect on violent video games had an effect on like mass shooting, or that they would trigger in or teach him anything about it. And his son said, well, it teaches you how to reload a gun, you know what I'm saying, like a real life gun. And I know the father was kind of taken back by that, because he was just like of the stance, like, you know, video games aren't gonna have any effect. And he didn't prep his son before they started recording. It was just an honest reaction. His son also went on to say, you know, I'm not insane, I don't have any fucking dry, he didn't curse, but you know what I'm saying, he's not like gonna go out and kill anybody, but he could see it from a 12-year-old's perspective. And like, even like a trash game like Anthem, I was hopeful, because I was like, any game, it's third person, take yourself out of it a little bit, is clearly some fantasy kind of teamwork driven, not PvP, PvE, so you're not playing against other people with the toxic environment and communication that goes along with that. It's purely kind of team based. One of the reasons why I like Apex, but it's still PvP, but at least you're on a team. You know, it's certain things where, not necessarily the game itself, but games like that do breed and reflect the underbelly of some toxicity within the culture. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I agree. I agree.
I completely lost the reason why I went through that whole thing. I just felt like I wanted to talk about Anthem and trigger somebody. I probably should stop talking about this shit, because I'm not bringing out the facts. My feelings are hurt. I'm just sad about this whole thing. I feel like I said before, I'm really, I don't even have words this week. I don't know. I'm not going to downplay how I personally feel and how down and weird and how much this has thrown me off the whole week. Because it just doesn't stop.
Yeah.
It just doesn't stop. And everybody keeps saying the same shit, and everybody keeps making light of it. But coming from where I come from, because that shit going to end up on your doorstep one day.
Yep.
Like, we talking about it now. Like, it'll end up on your doorstep, and then what? You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, man. I'm going to just be quiet, because I know I'm not making sense. and I'm sorry for wasting your time with that. But
you didn't waste anybody's time. That made sense. I mean, that made perfect sense, is that, you know, I mean, because you talked about it earlier about be careful about what you put into your brain on a daily basis. And I think what it comes down to is the communities that can form around those video games, as far as the toxicity. We've talked about this. I mean, when I was playing that, I guess, what is that? What are they called? Like the Dota style games? Oh, my God. My brain has gone completely left on that. But I was playing that one game just for fun, and that guy sent me a message telling me I should go kill myself, you know, because I wasn't adding to the team value. And you think about that toxicity for a moment, and you think about, if you're playing that game on a regular basis between the ages of 12 to 23 years old, and you're living in these communities where people are using racial slurs, they're calling you names, they're telling you they want you to get cancer, or you should go kill yourself. I mean, really. And then you think about the extension to social media, and you see people who bully each other online on social media. And you talked about teenage girls, the suicide rate being up in teenage girls. And,
you know, having these correlations to social media and the comparisons they have to themselves. I mean, when you talk about the communities we build online, this is why the tribe's so important to us, is because we do have a very positive community. And if it's not, if there's some negativity out there that we're not seeing, I would like to know about it, because that's not what this is about. This is about the positivity. This is about spreading the love from our perspective, because those communities can affect you, especially if you delve into them and just like attach yourself to them. That toxic bullshit that goes through. And I would say to anybody in the community, if you've ever gotten on a game and you've been toxic to somebody, ask yourself, why have you been that way to somebody else? Because that's a horrible thing to say to somebody. You're telling somebody you wish they had cancer, you wish that they could would go kill themselves. I mean, that's a, when you really think about it, you don't know where that person's battle is every day, because a lot of the times those struggles that we have aren't seen to the public eye. We've all dealt with it. Todd, I've dealt with depression. You've dealt with depression. We've dealt with seriously dark moments in our lives where we have thought, you know, had those moments where we've gone, you know what, maybe I don't belong, or maybe I don't mean anything to anybody. You know, it'd probably be better off if I just wasn't around. I've had those thoughts. You know, I'm not going to hide from the fact that I've had those that reality in my face at times because of the struggle that I'm going through. And the last thing I needed to hear is somebody on a video game tell me to go kill myself. So when you think about that reality and you think about how we engage with each other and the way that those communities can breed that kind of structure, you really have to think, do I want to engage in that? And, you know, that report button, I know people joke about it all the time with reporting, like, oh, well, what's it really going to do? I mean, there's data that's being built up out there by communities like the Xbox community, and people joked about the when they sent out the guidelines of how you should speak to people online or the message you should send. They come from a very good place. As silly as those messages were, they come from a very good place of, you know, you shouldn't be engaging in this behavior, because the reality is that it's so easy to take a stranger's word for. And it's the way our brain works, but it's so easy to take a stranger's word over people you love. It is so easy to just take that with some type of heart when it's somebody you don't even know. And I think that that's, you know, kind of the way our brains are structured sometimes. I mean, maybe I'm off base a little bit, but I feel like that can, you know, that's the toxicity environment, the toxic environments are very, very, very dangerous in certain gaming communities. That's just me, though. That's just kind of what I think.
I just think in the gaming community is so large now, too. Like, just we're leading into, let's continue to build a stronger community.
Yes, yes.
That's not, I mean, it's no perfect anything. You know what I'm saying? We all going to be different. We all have our strengths and weaknesses. But I don't think anybody wants to be in a fucking apocalypto world for real.
No.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's
I would die day one. I'm fat. Just, I can't run.
That's what I'm saying. Like, most gamers aren't designed for this shit, man. Anyway, you know what I mean? That's why I'm outside right now still trying to keep my calves strong.
I love Zombieland, but his rule number one was cardio. I don't have cardio.
Maybe we already there, man. It's the drugs and guns, man. It's the drugs and guns, though, bro. I'm telling you, man. It's too many drugs and it's too many guns. It's just that simple. It's just point blank, period. And that always goes back when we talk about why is this and nobody knows what's going on. It's money at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? It's the root of all evil at the end of the fucking day, period. Point blank, period. You know what I'm saying? It's the money, it's the resources and where they focus and who give a fuck and who don't. You know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, if we really don't give a fuck, then so be it. And I mean, honestly, I'd feel more comfortable if people would just be like, we really don't give a fuck. We just want to let the world know that they can't come over here with that shit. We're just that insane. That's the message we want to put out there. Just let's just call the thing a thing, man. But I think, yeah, I don't know, man. I ain't got it this week. Hopefully, I don't know. I ain't got it this week, man.
No, I think this was good.
That's the thing.
I think this was good. I think this was important. Let us know your thoughts on what we've discussed today. I know it's a lot. I know it was a heavy subject, but it's an important subject, especially as we kind of move forward. And like Todd said, you know, we've got to build this community. We got to make this community strong. We should be lifting each other up, not tearing each other down. It's so easy to tear somebody down, and it's so difficult to lift somebody up.
And that tearing down shit is happening in the gaming industry. Look yes, around.
It is.
Whereas it used to be a little bit more inclusive, it's getting a little bit more exclusive and people are getting a little bit more angry. I went to QuakeCon this year and just last year, there were no metal detectors. Everywhere you went, it was metal detectors, man. So we gotta be careful nowadays. My bad. No, man.
I agree with you too. I mean, we've talked about this. Go back to our Mortal Kombat episode where we talked about what's his nuts on YouTube, and just that whole channel. The idiot. What's that guy's name? What's that guy? What's that moron?
Let's just keep it. What's his nuts? That was funny, man. Yeah, I needed that laugh, bro.
Well, I'm just saying. There's some negativity there that it seems these popular channels, you know, spread these negative concepts and ideas, and we really should be lifting each other up a little bit more. But yeah, that's been this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial. Let us know your thoughts at facebook.com/skipthetutorialpod, Twitter at @STT_pod, email us at skipthetutorialpodcast@gmail.com, instagram.com/skipthetutorialpod, YouTube channel. We will talk a little bit more of that on the Facebook page, so just get ready for that, people. But until next time, as we always do before we sign off, because it's so fucking important, and this is why we've been saying it for the last year and a half, it's so important. Stay humble.
Stay humble.
Stay humble.
Man, hopefully we can make fart jokes again next week.
'm Justin.
And I'm Josh.
And we host the Pretty Okay Gamers podcast. Think of our show as water cooler conversations with a little less gossip and a little more geeking out.
My Halo, I think, is Legend of Zelda.
What? No way. Yeah. No.
Who are you again?
I'm Justin, and we're rather okay at playing pretty good games.
No. Every week, we talk about games and their history, and even ask ridiculous questions like, are open world games even good?
So come join us every Sunday on the HP Gaming Podcast Network. See you there.
See ya.